You ready? Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Today we have Austin speaking. Everybody knows Austin, right?
Yeah.
What's up, guys?
All right, I'm just going to start us off in prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day and this opportunity for Austin to speak, and I pray that you'll just be with him as he speaks and just be with our small assembly today and just give us peace and comfort throughout the day. In your name, amen.
Thanks, Katie. We're good. All right. I've never used one of these, so this is kind of exciting. Hey, so before we start, I know how Ecclesia is, and I just want to hear a funny animal story, okay? For me, we always had like an animal story. Like there was just like an animal at the farmhouse or the barn, you know what I mean? So I want to hear someone's funny animal story. Does anyone have one? Devin, tell me. That's awesome. I used to always wake up and see groundhogs. Bolt probably remembers that. We stayed here in the summer. We'd always come outside and there'd be this big old fat groundhog just sitting there staring at us. Man, at the barn, yes. Hey, that's Ecclesia, man. It's one of a kind. Cash, you ready? What's up, Jordan? Yeah, thank you. Hey, so Ecclesia, or other people call it Ecclesia or Iglesia or all these different names. It's one of a kind. And I just want to tell you my journey to Ecclesia and how I came here and the way I've grown while my time being here. And it started out with my love for basketball. So growing up, you know, I've always just been playing basketball. That was like my whole desire. And starting out early in junior high, I had goals set, like winning state, becoming all-conference, all-state, all-star, MVP, stuff like that. And I did all of them except for win state, although I do have a state ring in baseball. I didn't play. I was the foul ball chaser, but I'll count it, okay? So all those goals happened. I was pumped. And so everything I did was focused on basketball, my identity, all of that. And, I mean, those aren't necessarily a bad thing. You know, basketball's fun. Baseball's fun. But my mindset was just on that, nothing else. And, you know, this is my way of life, and I was consistently looking towards my future, and I had a goal of going to a D2 or NAI school, and I practiced that way. I showed up in the mornings and shot that way, and my whole mind was, I'm going to be D2 or NAI and nothing else. And so I had visits, and I'd go to NAI school and be like, man, I don't like this place. Like, one was Blue Mountain College. There was nothing. It was just this school, and then outside of that, you had to go like 30 minutes to get to a Mexican restaurant. And I was like, I just don't want to do that. They don't sound fun to me. Went to a D2 school. You know, I lost my scholarship because this other kid was better at shooting than me. He eventually left, so stinks for them. And no, I'm just kidding. It was a good thing. That was OBU. And so all these things just kept falling out, you know. And I probably should have went to the All-Star game, but I went to a cruise ship instead, which I thought was more important at the time. And which it was, and so I don't regret that. And finally, I guess Ecclesia was talking to OBU looking for a shooter, and so the timing was just right, and Ecclesia called me as Coach Pouncey. I wish he was here to hear this, because I couldn't understand a word he said. He was just like, what's up, man? This is Coach Pouncey. And I was like, what? So I just went with it. He's like, you want to come to Ecclesia? And I was like, yeah, where's that at? You know, I had no idea where Ecclesia was. And so, finally found out what Ecclesia was. I saw the dome on the online site. I was like, okay, cool building. I'll go there and check it out. So, I drive up from BB, Arkansas, about 3.5 hours from here, come to Ecclesia. I pass the turn. You're supposed to turn right, you know, off the Water Avenue or whatever. Pass the turn. So, we put it back in reverse and saw the garage sale sign, Ecclesia College. And I was like, oh, man, all right. We go, about wreck the car in the dit, about knock off the whole front bender or whatever, go up, and I see the sign. I'm like, okay, good, there's a college. It's not just like a little shack, you know? And so we pull in. I see this cool-looking building. It's just round, never seen anything like it. We called it the Dome before even knowing the name was the Dome. Pull in, Coach Smith comes out. He's like, hey, how's it going, Austin? I'm like, dude, this is a cool gym. He's like, you know, this is where the school happens. I was like, where's the rest of it? You know? Because at the time, we didn't have that building. It was just this building, and it was a storage. Like, this wasn't here. It was all storage. So everything was just dirty and packed in. There was no asphalt. It was all gravel. And so I was actually part of helping put Wallace up. That was cool. But, so there was nothing here. And Coach Smith was showing me around, kind of sharing his vision on, like, hard work, different things like that. You know, like, we want to build this program up in basketball. And I was like, I kind of like the sound of that. You know, it sounded cool to me. And then I saw Oren mowing. At the time, I didn't know he was the president. And he was kind of dressed up. I was like, why is that dude mowing, you know, dressed up like that? And it was weird to me. And Coach Smith was like, oh, that's our president. And I was like, what? I was like, dang, that's cool, man. Like, you don't see other colleges do that, you know? You don't have guys out there mowing in their dress clothes. And so, you know, I went home. The next week, I signed. The week after that, I came to Ecclesia. So it was just like, boom, boom, boom. I knew I was going to come and try starting up this basketball program. That was my vision. I want to help them get on a roll, and then I'm going to leave my second year and go to NAIA school or D2 school. I still had that vision in my head. And, that was going to happen for a while. I thought I was going to be able to go to a D2 school because Coach Pouncey left, and that was going to work out. He said, if you shoot 50% from three, we can get you there. And so that was happening, and then he left. So he had like a kid or something, so he couldn't coach anymore. And so then this NAIA school was offering me a scholarship, and so it was in Kansas. And I told Coach Smith in a meeting. It was awkward. So he calls me up. I go in there because I told him I need to talk to him. And he was like, Austin, we want to raise your scholarship for the hard work. And he just kept encouraging me. And then like 15 minutes later, I was like, I'm not coming back. And he was like, man, that sucks. He's like, we're not going to get rid of your scholarship because we think you might stay until the day you leave, we'll give it to someone else. But as of now, we want you here. And so we're going to act like you're still here. And so I stayed at Ecclesia after all that. Like the whole year, I'm like, I'm leaving. I went to Kansas and talked to the coach, played with the team. And I saw their schedule. And I was just like, man, this is weak. Like the schedule is just playing each other. NAIA schools, conferences, and they weren't that good. And so that wasn't there. I didn't have a good feeling about the school. And I think, honestly, it was because of all the love that the professors give and the team and the coaches, that they were constantly just encouraging me, you know, loving on me, telling me, you know, about Christ, these different things at the time. And that's what made me stay, because I was just, when I was there, it felt like a business. They were just talking to me like I was, you know, part of the program or something, not really a player. And here it's more like, hey, we want you to be a part of this family. And that's what's awesome about Ecclesia, is you don't get that anywhere else. And that's why I think the next years I had so much passion for the schools, because they cared for me, so why wouldn't I care for them, you know? And, you know, the thing about Ecclesia is I grew up in the church, and so I had God in a box. I mean, I was Southern Baptist. We don't have to hide that. I was Southern Baptist, so my mindset was just say a prayer, go to the front, get baptized later, you know? You're gonna get saved. You accept Christ, you know? Christ doesn't accept you. You're accepting him. You're doing the work. And so grew up with that mindset. I come to Ecclesia, and they just keep showing me scripture and evidence and tearing down these foundations that I had. And I was like, what in the world? I didn't want to accept it, even though I knew it was true. And I'll explain later what I mean by that. But they just kept on tearing these foundations that I had, God, inside this box. And so now God wasn't in this box, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I just ignored it. I just put it away. And so later, we're driving to a party, and I asked if he wouldn't mind. It was me and Rollins and someone else. And we're driving to a bar party, and I'm in my blazer. All of a sudden, Rollins goes, yo. Yo. What is sin? And I was like, I kind of wanted to ignore him. You know, I'm like, man, I already know. I know what sin is. He doesn't know. I just want to keep going. So I'm driving, and he's like, yo, what's sin? So I'm like, dude, it's when you disobey God. Basically, what we're about to go do right now, okay? And so, we got that straight, and so, I'm in my heart, I know, okay, that's when conflicting things started happening in my head. I was just like, I don't know what I'm doing. I know I'm going to go disobey. And so confusion set in, and it is funny to think about, looking back, I'm like, man, I was an idiot. But, those were things that I was struggling with. And thanks for that question, Rollins, because that's what started stirring in my heart. Well, we decided to go on a road trip after that, the college, going to Kansas and stuff like that. Me and Rollins and a high school friend, his name's David, we were like, hey, let's just go on a road trip. We didn't have any money hardly. Let's just go to San Diego. We'll stay there. So we head up. We get to the Grand Canyon first. We started Amarillo, then we stopped at the Grand Canyon, and this thing was crazy. I've never been in awe before. When you're standing, has anyone been to Grand Canyon? It's nuts. I can't put it in words. You're just speechless, just staring at this huge hole, and you don't know what to say, And that's the first time I think I've really recognized God's creation, because it was just magnificent, And Roland's is out there singing and worshiping, and I'm like, yeah, man, it's real cool, yeah. We end up going down to, I think it was Flagstaff, Arizona, and we stopped at a gas station. And Rollins and David come up with this bright idea to go to Vegas. They're like, let's go to Vegas. We're only 5 hours from there. We're on a road trip. Let's just live a little bit, go to Vegas. So I was like, nah, dude, I don't have any money. I'm going to lose it. Well, they were like, we'll pay for the 5-hour gas right there, And so we ended up going to Vegas, got in this sketchy motel on the strip. It was sketchy. It was $60 for the night. And Rollins is like, man, I don't feel right. I can't. And this is right after freshman year. Rollins had just accepted Christ. And so he's on fire. I've never seen anyone explode out of their... I've never seen life change like that before. His whole mindset, the way he acts, the way he carries himself, everything changed. And to me, that's why I was just like, what in the world, man? This is crazy. And so we get to Vegas, and he's like, spiritually, he's just like, man, I feel... heavy. I can't go out into this, because we got there at 11 p.m., which is prime time for Vegas things. And so me and David, we go out and indulge into, Vegas, and we do the thing. And the whole time, I really don't know why, but I just hated every moment of it. And every time, we had prostitutes coming up to us, people asking us if we wanted to do drugs. It was just crazy. I've never had everything right there before. I've been to parties before, but it was never just so easy. It was just coming to me, And I was I don't want any of this. And that's the first time I think ever that I was just I'd hate this crap. And we get back to the motel, and me and my buddy David, we never fight, but we got in a fight. And I go outside, Roland's just sleeping over there snoring. So it's just me and David, just me and him. And he goes back to sleep, and I go outside just because I'm mad. I've never had this much anger in my heart. I hate Vegas. I hated myself at the time. I hated David. I hated everyone back. I just had all this hate that I've never felt before. And this guy was walking by, just some random dude, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I want to, release this anger, just go pick a fight with him, I just wanted to randomly just go fight someone. And instantly I was in the presence of God, and it wasn't a visual thing or a voice, but it was just inside me, and it was saying, I died for Vegas. When I died on the cross, I died for that man, for everyone in Vegas, for your friend, for all these people that I was just hated, for everyone back home. And I never experienced that before. I never saw Christ's love like that. And it was just overwhelming. I didn't know what to do, except for just pray to God, And it wasn't this prayer, It wasn't just a prayer that I learned growing up. And I'd even say it out loud. It was just my heart. I could just change, because I was just man, Christ's love, that's what I've missed this whole time. And that's the moment where, I surrendered to the Lord. I was I've never experienced Christ's love. I believe in in how much he loves us and the world. And I didn't live perfect after that. And that's what's crazy is my life changed internally, but it's been a constant change. And I've been growing over time, but the desires are different. And, you know, it hurts when I fall into sin, into these things. And it sucks sometimes. And I think the school of ministry, because I want to talk about where I'm at now, because I'm, you know, learning how to be a minister, learning how to serve Christ. And, I mean, I've learned that at Ecclesia too, but it's like a different level, you know. And I'm having to carry my burdens, and I'm trying to carry other people's burdens, my families, all these different people's burdens. And it just drags me down. And for so long, I think this year I haven't been faithful in believing where Christ has me right now, that those burdens have just brought me down. And, you know, I think about past things I've done or things that I'm doing now, and it just keeps on building up, you know. And about 4 weeks ago, I heard about Romans 6. It's Romans 5, 17 through chapter 6, 1 through 11. And it was just randomly in school ministry. And I'm going to read it for you in a second, but it changed my whole perspective in how I'm going to fight sin and how I'm going to live as a believer. And I'm going to read it for you real quick, so just stay with me. Since by the one man's trespass, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the overflow of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? So then, as through one trespass, there is condemnation for everyone, so also through one righteous act, there is life-giving justification for everyone. For just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The law came along to multiply the trespass, but where sin multiplied, grace multiplied even more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace will reign through righteousness, resulting in an eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. What should we say then? Should we continue in sin so that grace may multiply? Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Remember that verse. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Or are you unaware that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. For if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that sin's dominion over the body may be abolished, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, no longer enslaved. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also will live with him. Because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Christ won't die again. He's already done that. Death no longer rules over him. For in light of the fact that he died to sin once for all. And in light of the fact that he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. I know that's a lot, but it's powerful because I think before when I've read that, and this is my time as a believer, I think before when I read that, it almost felt, I felt condemnation. You know, I felt like, oh man, I've sinned. I'm crap. What do I do now? You know, like I don't know what to do. And it was discouraging. But if you really read it, absolutely not. This is 6:2. Absolutely not. How can one who died to sin still live in it? This is the whole reason we came to him. And it should pump us up because here's the fact. You're dead to sin. And it's talking about you dying to, you know, dying with Christ and being raised again with him. And so when we are constantly living in that and we get down on ourselves, we get discouraged because of those things, we're not living as Christ calls us to live. And that's the thing that I'm starting to see is it's not just a song about breaking a chain, okay? It's about the scripture talking about you're no longer enslaved to sin, right? You don't have to anymore. And that's what's awesome about that. And I think as Christians, we have to remember that. Like the other day when I was writing out the testimony, Miss Liz asked if I would do it. It was a remembrance of like where I was in that place when I was in the presence of God, you know? And I remembered like, man, I remember the love of Christ and me turning to him, you know? And I was no longer scared of those sins because I'm dead to it. And so if we've died to Christ, we're dead to that sin. We don't have to live in it, and you're not going to live in it. Remember yourself in Christ. I want to read Romans 6:3. Or are you unaware that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. So we're going to walk in a new way, right? Our sin has no dominion. It has no hold. And every day you have to wake up and tell yourself that. If you don't wake up and tell yourself that, you're going to continue to fall into the same things. You're going to continue to be discouraged. And that's the whole point of what the devil wants to do. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to doubt what Christ has done in your life. And you won't be able to do the things that he's called you to do. And Romans 6:7, since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. I want to read it again. Since a person who has died is freed from sin's claims. Christ isn't dying again. You're not dying again. You're alive in Christ. So when sin comes up, you tell sin, you tell those temptations who you are in Christ. Professor Girk, does he still teach here? Okay. Well, he was a professor. And one day, he stood up and told us a little something that stuck in my head, and it just came up. But he said, there are Christians who want to jump into it, but pretend a pool, okay? Imagine a pool. You expect to jump into this pool and not expect to get wet, as far as like the Holy Spirit's power. That's how he explained it. And so like, when you jump into it, you expect not to get wet for some reason, when really, you're going to get soaking wet, and you're going to get the power of the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't live like that, you're not living as Christ has called you to do. That's what that call means. You've been called to live in Christ. And so I just want y'all to remember, like, it doesn't have that claim over you. Sin has no claim over your life. And that's something I have to go in every day to remind myself. I have to read that Romans 6. You are no longer bound to those things. It has no dominion over you. So start to live like that. Start to speak it into existence. Tell it. Tell sin who you are in Christ, okay? And I mean, I understand that there may be someone here, they may have the same testimony as me, or they have never accepted Christ before. And you know whether you've accepted Christ before. You know whether you've surrendered to the Lord. And so I ignored it for too long. And if you've been ignoring it, you need to make that decision. And there's plenty of people here you can talk to. And you can come to me if you want to, since I no longer go to Ecclesia, okay? So, guys, I want to pray for you, but I just ask that you challenge yourself, okay? Question that in your heart and know that in your heart for those who are believers. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for remembering what you've done in my life and the lives out here. And I pray that you continue to use them and show your glory through dying and raising again. Lord, Ecclesia is a special place. And no matter what's going on, it's who's in the college, not the college itself. And I pray that you use the college, you use the people in the college for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go.